In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rock and roll! Touchdown, Texan!
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, OB Skeezy Show and Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Meal, have the latest. The latest is Clint stepped out his baby girl's birthday, and he went to celebrate with his daughter. Stopped out after the 4 o'clock segment, so B. Scott is in the building, and happy birthday as well to Tyler Milner, 35 today.
Thank you.
Hopefully has a good time tonight. Me and Brandon are on a quest to not get fired at the Christmas party. That has happened to me before, is why I bring that up, and I don't feel bad. Those two ladies, they were in a relationship, and they looked like the tag team, the Nasty Boys, and they were my... superiors, and they fired me at the Christmas party. But hopefully that won't happen again today. By the way,
please,
guys,
don't.
Would be ashamed of what we've been doing through the break. We have dead seriously put together the biracial and the white team and are working on the black team.
Yeah. Got some squads.
It has consumed my attention, all of it.
No, God to honest, we're turning to each other dead serious.
Yes.
Dead serious.
We stopped laughing a long time ago about
what,
this.
What do you think? Would you have Banchero at the three? Would you have, like, it is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But.
Trying to figure out a spot for Michael Porter Jr.
I don't know.
Versatile big.
I'm
versatile
still not
big.
Sold on him being in the starting lineup.
All right.
The Texans, they made a move.
Sleeping on them.
B. Scott. They waived guard Lakin Tomlinson per team. Tomlinson had been a healthy scratch the past two games after losing his starting spot. When they put in 62. You knew his days were numbered.
Yeah, that's true.
He was about sixth or seventh, it seemed like, on the guard list there. This isn't surprising at all, but when you see Lakin Tomlinson is waived and they move on, it is hard not to me, immediately think, well, there's another offseason guy that is up out of here right now from Nick Caserio.
Yeah, I think he took some swings and he missed. Like, I'm not really mad at the taking of the swings. And granted, there are going to be some misses. Like, for your Lakin Tomlinson, you have it Ed Ingram, right? And Ed Ingram has actually worked out. Now, you look around, you got Lakin Tomlinson, you got Cam Robinson, you got C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who's actually on a Bears team that's doing really well. So you got a few guys that you brought in and were expecting to do. Braxton Berrios is a healthy scratch. Christian Kirk is... you know, disappointment. Well, nah, I would say no. I mean, he's had two good games, right? Two good games.
He's had two better games.
Yeah, two games of note.
When we say good games, we're talking about him in the 50s in receiving yards.
Right. So, yeah, so out of 12 games, he's had two ones that are even noteworthy. So, yeah, no, it hasn't been great with some of the newcomers, whether it was free agency or via trade. But to me, it more signals the changing of the guard for the Texans' offensive line. Like, out with the dead weight, no disrespect, but out with the dead weight, that's what it turned out to be. And we're going to go with this new iteration of the offensive line that we've seen over the last couple of weeks. That's been really good.
Tomlinson out. And as Tyler said earlier when we announced this, The Texans now have two open spots on their roster right now.
Yeah,
and
to see what they do with
it. Yeah, they're not going to just leave those open. They're going to do something to fill that.
Yeah.
And
you figure they could use a safety?
We saw today that the Steelers released Darius Slay, who is a corner, veteran corner, played in that Super Bowl team with the Eagles last year, went to the Steelers. Now, their defense hasn't been great. So that's one to look at. But as you said, would he be open to sliding over the safety? But they did that so they could sign
Ramsey.
No, the receiver.
DK Metcalf.
No, they just signed Adam Thielen.
Oh, they did sign. My bad.
White guy.
The white guy at a non-traditional white position. But Adam Thielen playing receiver there. They brought him on and then let Darius Slay go. So that might be an option there. I know a lot of people are.
Well, that sounds so pitiful for the Steelers.
Yeah.
Let Darius Slay go for Adam Thielen. Yeah. It's like.
That's where they are right now.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
Probably should have jumped on that Brandon Cooks thing. It could be. I know a lot of people were talking about Matthew as he was saying stuff with Kay Adams. We'll see. I mean, a guy who hasn't been playing all year long. And by the way, he also then, in that same interview, said he would also play for the Chiefs, too.
So he just wants to go one of his old teams that's kind of in the playoff hunt, basically.
He said the same thing. So I don't know how much of a real option it is there, but I think they will fill a role there. They will do something.
It also is just disappointing, kind of back to your point about the Caserio moves. Like, you did all of this. And it turns out you get this far into the season and your solution at left guard, which you've had a problem at now for years, turned out to be your right tackle. Again. Like, out of all the moves, out of all the possibilities, you sign a guy. You bring in a guy who actually you played that we had never heard of. You've got Juice Scruggs moving over to that position. Jared Patterson, we forgot, was even on the team until he emerged eventually
I forgot he was.
All of these different options. And then it turns out the best one is still you're tackling. You really kind of get lucky there because you got tackle depth. It's just that part of it, I would say, is disappointing.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah, I mean, and listen, they're making it work, and they're playing above average. They played above average the last two games, but that's not the best spot for Titus Howard. No.
I mean let's roll now at this point.
You gotta roll with it.
It sucks that he is your right tackle, who's actually a good tackle, is your best left guard. That to me is less of a credit to Titus and more of a demerit on their scouting and player acquisition.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, as we continue here, college football playoff, and this is a very important one. I would say, obviously, the last one is the most important, but I think coming off of this one is extremely important. Because there are certain teams right now that don't have any more games. And when you see where the poll is, I think there are going to be a lot of people that know exactly what their fate is. And I think the number one talking point because Sark has done what he should do. He has whored himself on out there.
Yeah.
And I mean in a major way. Colin Cowherd, I'll talk to you. Anybody, I'll talk to you. Hell, you know what? You can come on here, Sark. And you can call up here and go on and give us your thoughts.
It's so pitiful, though.
It is
a crying ass shame.
They're sitting there with three losses. Tyler, do you think that they're in a position, and I'm throwing this to both of you, Tyler, do you think that they're in a position tonight when the rankings come out? Because they have to be inside the top 12, right? For them to have, they don't have another game. Do you think they're inside the top 12 or have a spot where you're like, all right, they're going to make, they have a chance to make the playoff?
I do not see the burn orange in the top 12 tonight if the committee is doing what they're supposed to do, their jobs. But we got to see how, I really think that some of these conference championship games, they might go wild with those results and do some more moving and shaking, and that might give the Longhorns an opportunity, which would still be bogus.
But what are the ones that will, right? Like,
I think Miami's in the way, though. Right, like, they're gonna make a jump. Texas is gonna make a jump from what was it, 16? They're gonna make a jump from there, but I don't think it's gonna be inside the top 12.
Yeah, but do they jump Vandy? They beat Vandy, yes. But Vandy has one less loss, and they have consistently kept them behind them because it was a close home loss.
Who did Vandy play? Because
Texas, Vandy just beat Tennessee. Vandy just beat a ranked Tennessee team on the road. So it's hard to think that they will jump. They'll jump Michigan. Like, I'm looking at it, and as Tyler, I don't know that I would quite put it as if the committee does their jobs, but it is hard to think that they are going to leap because they're sitting here at 16 right now. They'll jump Michigan, who lost. Maybe they jump Utah because Utah should have lost to Kansas and they should have lost to K-State the week before. Yeah. So maybe they jump Utah, but they ain't jumping BYU. Nope. They're not jumping Miami. They're not jumping – I don't think they're jumping Vandy. It is hard if you're Vandy to think – I know they beat A&M, but Vandy beats, the number 19 team on the road.
Yeah.
And you haven't jumped them yet. I don't think that –
No, because even if they're 11, they would have to make room for – one of the conference champions, right, in the seeding?
Yeah,
they'd have to be top 10, to get in.
So, and to get to 11,
which is far-fetched,
they'd have to jump Vandy, Utah, Miami, BYU to get there.
And that's not happening.
No.
So no, they're not going to make it.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to.
And nor should they. Nor should they. They had a chance. Hey, beat Florida next time. Beat a school that fired its coach.
And the Georgia game being so lopsided too doesn't.
But you could have survived that.
I'm just saying, but also one or the other.
All three of their losses in a vacuum is excusable, but together collectively, you can't have it.
Also, to me, we'll see how far A&M drops. I don't think too crazy, but the Notre Dame Miami thing is interesting because the committee has repeatedly said they don't have them in the same tier, and so thus head to head isn't taking form here because they're not on the same tier. Well, Miami just beat a ranked Pittsburgh team and beat them pretty good, and I wonder right now, like, I don't know what the hell the same tier has to be frank with you, because right now Miami's 12 and Notre Dame has been 9. It's like the closer they get, it is hard to think that they are not going, they wouldn't jump them if they were in the same tier. So that
it's pretty cool that Notre Dame, doesn't ever have to worry about the conference championship thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat for them.
I just got such, and look, I love Sean Pendergast, but I got Notre Dame fatigue. It feels like the same. They could make it all the way to the championship game. And you know what I might do? Not be all that interested in the damn championship game. Like, I'll watch it, but it'll be background noise because I'll know how that story ends with Notre Dame. Like, I just got – you can't keep them out of the field because of that. But, man, they're
in the championship game last year.
Exactly. anytime they go to the championship game, it's click, let's watch anything.
Last year was different. When they beat Georgia, you thought it was click?
Man, listen – I will never believe in Notre Dame. It's the same story no matter how close they get.
Damn.
It's just not given.
Tyler's best win right there.
Yeah. I could do without Notre Dame. Sorry, Sean Pendergast.
5 o'clock fire.
I'm expecting a text.
I like your running back.
He is nice.
He is nice, but the rest of it, you can play. I like your coach.
All right.
The rest of it.
The Rockets... the NBA won the battle last night, but the Rockets, they lose to the Jazz 133-125. And listen, I'll give them credit. They fought back. It looked and felt like it was just one of those nights in the NBA where you're on the road, you're maybe tired, I don't know. And it just looked like one of those nights, like the Lakers and the Suns last night. Looked like it just wasn't your night. But they fought back. To me, I thought it was over when I saw Mikhailu crossover Reed Shepherd and then just waltz to the lane with no deterrence and just go and lay it in. I said, all right, this one's about over. But they got it back. They got it down to one, or did they tie it? I know they got it to one.
They got it to one for sure.
I know
sure.
Kevin hit a three to get it to one, and then George hit a three right back to push it back up to four. But I give him credit for going back. But I think overall – with UB Scott, and I know you cover this team, check out the B Block podcast where he talks a lot of Rocket stuff there. But it's an 18-game sample size, and now we're starting to kind of see the rest of the field as well.
Yeah.
This team is first in rebounding, top five team in points per game, top 10 team in defensive rating. When you look at this team, do you still have the same feeling that I believe you had before the season that this is a legit championship contender?
Yeah, I mean, I only have, and these are two of the teams that they've lost to, but I really only have Denver and OKC above them in the West.
I think it would be fair to say that only the Thunder are a championship contender right now. I think it's fair because it feels like who's going to beat those jokers? Like, yeah, that's what it feels like
well,
right now.
I think that's fair, but the last time I saw the Rockets play them, they went to overtime, and what still to this day, and that was the first game of the season, still to this day is one of the better games of the NBA season so far, that game itself. So,
is Williams back?
He just came back a few days ago. So, and that changes the game for them. Obviously, their second best player. Look, Oklahoma City is going to be hard to beat.
Yeah.
But I do think that Denver, Houston, those are teams that can make a bit. We'll see with San Antonio. I know Wimby's got the calf injury, so that kind of puts a little wrench in their game. But I thought they were frisky and kind of interesting as well.
Lakers are the obvious other team
that is, to me, a surprise because I thought they were kind of...
I think they're second in the West right now.
Yeah, I thought they were dead to rights, and they got some
They've had a really favorable schedule right now. Yeah,
so, and as far as the Rockets go, you know, last night was their first, if I'm not mistaken, their first back end of a back-to-back. They had not played a back-to-back yet all season, and so it looked like it. It looked like their first back-to-back. They played like it. They've had kind of a cupcake schedule just in terms of sequencing, right? How many gaps between games or days between games that they've had. So that's going to change here, and this was an example of that. They had just played this team the night before. I don't have a problem with them losing this game
as much as
I hate the Jazz.
I hate that.
The home and home, or not even home and home. It's back-to-back, like it's baseball or something.
Yeah, they had to stay in Salt Lake.
Oh, yeah, an extra night. Even though I hear they kind of get it cracking.
I bet you Salt Lake could be a hell of a time.
Oh, I've heard it gets cracking a little bit. And you know, NBA,
those gentlemen like to play in the snow.
Yeah, NBA players like snow.
They do. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And Utah, Jabari Smith climate control.
Like, Jabari Smith's like, damn, we got to stay in Salt Lake another night.
I guess I have to find some snow.
Right, it's like, I'm sorry, is he the one you look at and think on the team?
Nah, he's not actually.
He's not the one. He's the one I look at and say, snow. He likes
it's him. A men for me. It's a men for me for sure. They're like, hey, Reed, you ready to hit the slopes?
Really? Oh,
you ready to hit the slopes, big
dog?
I'm
sorry, Jabari looked like he was giving those girls hell at all.
Yeah, probably so.
I mean, like he was probably giving those girls hell at all.
Probably so, yeah. I can see it. I was going to say, Jayshon Tate, I can see it too.
Oh, yeah.
I can see it.
Walking around with your shirt off. All right, remember, it is a Texas Ticket Tuesday. Your chance at some point in the 5 o'clock hour to win a pair of tickets to see the Texans and the Cardinals. Not this week's game, but next week's game against the Cardinals. You can do that at some point in the 5 o'clock hour. All right, this to me, and I want to get your thoughts on this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Scott, because I am looking at this team differently, and this is a thing to me that makes me a bit concerned about the Texans. We'll discuss that next. Attack that ass.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Turn down for what? All right, there it is. Caller number 7, CJ Stroud, returned and got a dub in Indianapolis. Caller number 7. Phone lines are officially opening now. Caller number 7, 713-572-4610. Your chance is now for you to win a pair of tickets on the front row in the bullpen for the game next week against the Arizona Cardinals. Caller number 7, Tyler will take care of you. Your chance to win right now, a pair of tickets for that big game against the Cardinals. Tyler's got you rolling. Shout out to all of you who are listening. Hopefully you get a chance to win. And I got a sneaky suspicion this isn't the last time folks may have a chance to win tickets. So if you aren't able to win this time, hopefully you stay with us right here on Sports Radio 610 and you'll have a chance. Caller number 7. All right, B. Scott's in as Clint took off. It's Tyler and Clint's daughter's birthday. Tyler's 35, Clint's daughter's 2, and he is celebrating her birthday. He'll be back with us tomorrow. All right, B. Scott, I'd love to get your thoughts. The people you can jump in on this too as well, and text in YouTube and Twitch. You can jump in as well. Like, Sunday changed my entire thinking of this Texans team right now, Brandon, because I think now you got to look at them as not just a, hey, all right, maybe they could make the playoffs. Maybe there's something, maybe they could back their way in. You know, maybe they could keep fighting this thing. To now it's more of a, this is a playoff level team. This is a playoff level team that now you got to look at that they can maybe do some damage. As I said yesterday, when you look at the field, this is a different field than they've had to face the last couple of years. And you and I said, again, if you can do something great, you got a shot. You got a shot. And their defense obviously is great. And as I've said the last week, that they have, I think, the best unit of any team that they're going to play. They're going to have the best offense, better defense. Their unit is the best.
Their defense will be better than any offense they'll go against.
Than any other unit. Or any defense in the game, right?
Well, their defense is the best defense, I think, in the league.
And better than, I think, any offense that they will run into.
I will agree with that.
So they've got a chance with that, even though they may have to probably play, as it looks right now, all their games on the road. I think that. So I think you look at this team different. And, Tyler, you've watched this team. Brandon, you've watched this team.
Yeah.
All of you listening have watched this team. And when I start looking at teams differently, I'll look at it and I'll say, all right, how do we envision this team losing? Like, how is the way this team will lose? I look at the Broncos. How will they lose? Probably Bo will make more mistakes than he can atone for in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I look at the Patriots. My thing would be maybe
him making plays is also sometimes how they win too, though.
Oh, like know,
they live
I,
and die,
that,
they do live and die with him.
That's why I said early he's going to make too many mistakes that his team cannot.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, they almost couldn't make up for it against the Commanders, the Raiders. Like they've done that. The Patriots. You look at it, maybe their youth and inexperience may jump in and give them some problems. Maybe they're not as much prepared.
They look pretty
with
good.
Some of their skills. No, they look pretty they good. Look but I'm just saying, good, if man. You if you're in your mind saying, how do you see them losing?
Yeah.
Jacksonville, Trevor will screw this up.
Yeah.
And they won't get enough turnovers to make up for it.
They'll just be Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You keep doing that.
They'll just be the Jaguars
as they lead the division. But when you look at the Texans, how do you think they will lose? And to me, what concerns me is what we've been seeing the last several weeks. And listen, this may be how they have to play. But I think it is very concerning. The way you look at the Texans to lose is their defense is going to play lights out. But the game is going to be tight and it's going to be close. And the other team only has to make a few plays and they're either right in the game or they're taking the lead or they may win. And it also means in those games, your special teams has to be on point. You can't make mistakes because they play, and not just play, they seem to go into games wanting to do this. Play tight. Play 20-17. Let's win it 17-14. All right, hey, let's go. 36 yards of total offense in the second half against Buffalo. Cool. Our defense set us up, got us 3 points. We're in and out, right? You can have a game against the Bills where you sack Josh Allen 8 times and turn him over 3 times, and you're still fighting it at the end. You have a game where the thing is tight with Jacksonville, and you got to have a walk-off field goal to win. That, to me, is the concern is they seem to be willing to play and keep the score down, and it almost seems like they're doing it more than the other team is doing it to them, Brandon. And I think that is, to me, the real concern on how they go about playing games is these games are always low scoring and tight, and the other team doesn't have to make a ton of plays against that defense.
Look, I agree it's a real concern. I can't argue against that. Like the idea that you're going to play with fire or that you're not going to try to force the issue on offense and just take what the defense gives you and more so rely on your defense to win you games. Like this is not 1985. This is not 1995. Like this is 2025 football where you expect to put on a bit of a light show, honestly. You know, not just for entertainment purposes, but because that's just how you kind of keep up the way offenses are these days. It's an offensive league. But I do think that, like, to be fair to them, I think this is some level of self-awareness on their part. Like, I agree with your point, and I don't really like it. I don't like the offense, if I'm being honest with you. But
you think they're doing this because they have to?
I think they think they have to, or that they're better off this way.
Yeah, but I'm asking you, Brandon, do you think they have to?
Well, I mean, if you just look at it, and we've watched them all this time, they're not an explosive offense. They're like none of us. Here's my issue with the whole thing. None of us think that they're a good offense. There's no number or statistic that tells you they're a good offense. They've been better as of late. But basically everything that you've watched and all of the data that you have in front of you says that they're anywhere from a mediocre to below average offense. So, and now we're 12 games into the season. So we talk about identity. What is the offense? This be the identity, mediocrity. Your offense is mediocre. And so to me, this is them being somewhat more self-aware. Like, hey, we're a defensive-focused team. The best thing that we do, you know, the best things that they do on offense is literally possess the ball and not turn it over. Those are the only measurements where they're
and Nico Collins.
Well, yeah, and Nico Collins is obviously a stud. But when you talk about team statistics, these are the only stats that they have that are above average. They are above average in not giving the ball away. They're like something like 7th in giveaways. And then there are something like top 10 in time of possession. These are the best things that they do. Not give the ball away and possess the ball. So, like, that's what they're trying to do.
This is what I would say
to you. As much as I don't like it.
This is what I would say to you. Someone text in, we'll get beat kicking field goals and not scoring touchdowns.
I agree. I don't like it.
We got a ball control offense. This is the 2001 Ravens.
I hate it. I hate it. But this is who they are.
I can understand that in games like the Denver game, where, hey, man, like those dudes are as much of a reason why you had to keep kicking field goals or you struggled. The thing that makes me concerned is.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Is. The last two games, it felt like they put the emergency brake on as much as Buffalo and whoever and Indy.
And the Colts, yeah.
Like it felt like I watched that. I felt like their offensive line protected well enough. I felt like Davis and CJ, especially in the first half or different points of the game, were in rhythm, doing their thing, and then
yeah. But to me, it's not a bad strategy to play keep away from the number two offense in the league. And then when they do get the ball, unleash your number one defense. That's not the worst strategy in the world, even if I don't like it.
It's not a terrible strategy. But to me, also, the thought is, all right, hey, man, we got 20 points in the first half against Buffalo.
Oh, I get it.
Why do we just shut it down?
Well, their first drive of the third quarter, they were penalized and they shot themselves in the foot.
I know, that wasn't their only drive.
Well, but if you look at the drives in between, their defensive drives, they sacked Josh Allen for 18 yards with Will Anderson. Danielle Hunter, the next drive, shuts down the drive with another sack. So they're weighing the flow of the game at the same time.
They got a turnover in field goal range, and they ran the ball like five straight times with Woody Marks.
No, it's
– you know what I mean?
It's a bleep offense.
Like they came at the end of the half last week, Tyler, and they said, yo – we get the ball coming out. Best scenario, kick a field goal. Worst, don't turn it off. And I just leave teams in the game.
I just struggle.
That your defense, you just leave teams in the game. And then next thing you know, let's say Sunday, we may see it. Mahomes just has to make three or four plays like Bo Nix did.
Yeah.
And then, damn, we shouldn't have lost that game.
Look, I agree with your point, and I don't like it again. I don't like the offense.
But
I have a tough time acknowledging that it's not a good offense and then being critical of them not being more aggressive with it. Like, I don't think it's very good. So it's just like, well, I mean, I got a hard time defending or being mad about them not, like, going doubling down on this mediocre to bad offense.
Yeah, in games where they are playing well, I offensively, I don't understand why.
I mean, they had the one good drive against, they had two good drives against the Bills. Literally two out of all of them. One of them was a field goal drive. And the other one was the one to end that first half. They weren't that good. They're not that good.
I don't know. They put up 20 points in the first half. And then just rolled down there on the two-minute drive. All right,
most of them field goals.
We'll get they scored two touchdowns. Coming up, they scored 14 points. Two touchdowns in the first half. All right, coming up, we'll get T-Mill's best bets. He was 0 for 4 last night, but ignore it. But he was 0 for 4. We'll get T-Mill's best bets, and we'll try to piss him off before we get to best bets. That's coming up next. It is a Texans
I'm just sexual, man.
Somebody stop
Look
that
out,
man.
Here comes
live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, who was our winner for the tickets, Tyler?
Joseph and Richwood.
There you go, Joseph. Congratulations. Richwood. Enjoy yourself. Have a good time. T-Mill's best bet's coming up here in just a bit. He's trying to redeem himself from last night's 0-4-4, but it's his birthday, so I feel like he'll do pretty well tonight. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, Kate Stover, Mr. Tush Push, is going to be on with Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. I'm sure he doesn't like that. He's going to be on with them tonight, so stay tuned for that right after we get done. Area 45, they've got you late and hot. Damn it. there it is, from 8 to midnight. Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, they'll hold it down. The Area 45 guys will hold you down. The best damn late night show in all of Houston. Stay tuned for Area 45 coming up after Kate Stover and the fellas with Texans All Access. All right, we were talking about this a little bit. I said it. I was a bit disappointed in some of the A&M fans and how they were trying to downplay that loss to Texas. I was so proud of Tyler, who has refused to talk about it up until that segment. And I mean, yesterday, whatever. And I could tell that the Texans win helped, but you could see he was still hurt. And he should. Don't downplay it. I heard Lopez on, and I was like, come on. Lopez up here. My man said, yeah, I mean, we wanted to win, but hey, it's not, you know.
Lopez got his eye on the prize.
The real thing is the college football. Yeah, okay. How many times have they won the SEC championship?
Never.
So you lose to Texas and you lose your opportunity to go and win an SEC championship, and they stop your undefeated season. So I was disappointed in some people, and I saw a lot of people on YouTube and Twitch and the text line, you know, downplaying it. And we had a discussion with this earlier, and I'm curious from you all. Because we got a Longhorn fan from birth, and we got an Aggie fan from birth. One Aggie fan wears a gold ring, paid there, went there 4 or 5 years, give or take. Six. That's all right.
That's a lot of money. 6 years of Aggie tuition,
hey,
is a couple insane. Of
injuries. Hey, man, that's all right. He had a couple of injuries and had a transfer year in there, had an injury. Honestly. Do you all believe, and I'll let our guest start first, B. Scott, do you believe that the Texas A&M game means more to A&M fans than it does to Texas fans?
Yes, I do. But I do think it still means a lot to Texas fans because they so badly do not want to lose that game. Right? And so I think both sides really don't. I think they both want to not lose. Let me say it this way. I think Texas more so wants to not lose, and the Aggies more so want to win. But because of the whole big brother, little brother dynamic, whether you actually buy into it or believe in it or not, that is sort of the tone, the tenor of the relationship, that Texas is the big brother and that A&M is the little brother, and the big brother doesn't want to lose to the little brother, and the little brother definitely, absolutely wants to beat the big brother. I think that's the dynamic.
Because you've said that OU is a bigger rival.
I think it's
Texas.
I think it is a bigger game because of the stake. I think it's a higher stakes rival.
What game more emotionally gets to you? Like what? Because I think that's where the rivalry part comes in, right? What game does OU or does A&M? Like facing them as a Texas fan, what gets you more emotionally invested?
I would say OU, but it's for different reasons. Like I think A&M gets you more emotionally invested for the local reason. Like Tyler and I are friends. We're both here from the same city. We're on different sides of the enemy lines here. So we can have a friendly rivalry here. But if we're just being honest, really up until last year, there wasn't really like they didn't play for a decade. And it wasn't really like A&M was as much in Texas's way as Oklahoma was. And so this is what I was getting at earlier when we were talking about it. Like Oklahoma, for the better part of the last couple of decades, has been the superior program to both of the Texas programs. And so you get more juice for that game because that's more of a litmus test for how good you actually are.
See, Tyler, I feel like that kind of stuff annoys you when Texas fans try to make it seem like that game doesn't mean as much. Because our guy right here on YouTube, AZ Storm, we care more about beating OU but losing to A&M hurts more because we don't view them as a threat.
That is for as insulting as that comes off, that is exactly to achieve the case.
Do you believe that's the case?
No, I do not.
So you
it's
think
it's a facade.
You think A&M fans and Longhorn fans care about that game at the same equal?
Yes,
feeling of it.
Because I really do think it's become like this phenomenon with the burn orange fans, like B. Scott just laid out, like, oh, we care more about OU. That's our rival. We don't really care. But I can tell you this: my mentions on Twitter look like you sure as hell cared as soon as that final clock went to zeros.
They couldn't wait to get to
against A&M, and it's just I think it's a smart strategy.
Wow.
Year in, year out.
How long has this strategy been going on? Has this been going on since you can remember?
And to speak to that, the talent level and the performance of the Aggie football team through, like B. Scott said earlier, like some of these recent decades, they weren't on that level. I mean, they were kicking our ass early and often. So that may have gone into it. But now, no. Now in 2025, I would wager that Burn Orange fans tend to care a lot more about the Aggie game than OU. Maybe a lot is subjective.
Next one coming in, it's an age gap thing. If you're over 40, the A&M game means more.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. I think there is something to that age gap thing.
Well, I just turned 35.
Well, but you're also an Aggie. So like you're coming at it from it in kind of the Ron's point from earlier in the show. Like, there's not a secondary rival, really. Whereas, like, Texas is in between here, where they're going right or left. Which one is it that's the greater rival?
Because
I think that's the difference.
What's the next closest game that you care about on the schedule?
Either LSU or Bama.
It's got to be LSU.
But that is a good point and a factor in this, I think. That there is nobody that comes close. Like, for the Longhorns, they have OU right there. Oh, that's our rival. Like, A&M definitely does not have that.
Yeah. Somebody texted in Arkansas.
Yeah, okay, so I don't know what we're doing there.
Southwest Conference days, I guess.
So you got to be a certain age to really feel that. Yeah. But I think just the divided attention alone kind of just almost by default gives A&M a little bit more care. But I will say this, once Texas beat A&M over the weekend, and I did not pick them to win that game, I did not think they were going to win that game, I was way disappointed that we immediately went into politicking for the college football playoff and wasn't nobody celebrating the fact that we just beat these damn Aggies. Yeah. Like, I cared more about that than this idea that I need to politic for a three-loss team to get into some playoff that's only been around for a decade. Like, yeah, I cared more about the rivalry than I did their case for the playoffs after they had already lost three games.
All right, good conversation. I see a lot of people coming in with thoughts. Let's head over to these best bets. T-Mill, real deal. It's his birthday, so I think you should probably roll with him. I think he's feeling lucky. By the way, if you don't get these best bets, go to @TMillRealDeal. He'll have them posted. What do you got tonight?
Yeah, last night was rough, but it's time to rebound, and we got five because we got to go big now. We went 0-4 last night, so now we got to go bigger. We got five bets tonight around the NBA, three of which are player props. First, talked about the Pelicans earlier. We already knew going into this game tonight that there would be no Zion. Didn't know the extent of his injury, but I'm taking the Pelicans and the points plus 12 as they host the Timberwolves at home. Next, I'm on an over. It's probably my favorite bet on the board tonight. Thunder at Warriors over 222.5 points in that one.
I like that too.
That's my favorite one. And three player props. Kyshawn George, Washington Wizards forward, over 14.5 points. He's eclipsed that, I believe, two of his last four games. But I feel good about it. Kyshawn George over 14.5 points. Shea Sharp, Portland Trail Blazers guard, over 17.5
These
points.
These obscure names right here, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
Like that?
Yeah.
Did my research. And then Cedric Coward with the Memphis Grizzlies, another forward. Under 13.5 points for Cedric tonight in the Memphis Grizzlies. Those are your five best bets.
Who are the Blazers playing?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I had it written down.
Because I think I like your. They've got the Raptors.
Ooh.
So I think I like your Shaedon Sharp
Somebody's got to score in that game.
Yeah. I like the sharp bet. I think the sharp bet is a sharp bet. Yeah,
let's roll.
And I like the Thunder Warriors as well. All right. Yeah. Happy birthday, Tyler.
Thank you, boys.
Don't go too crazy. B. Scott, appreciate you jumping in as well.
Sir.
And congratulations to Joseph, our winner, who won the tickets to see the Texans. Coming up behind us, Cade Stover, Texans All Access, Area 45 after that. For B. Skeezy, B. Scott, Tyler Milner, great job. I am Ron, the show as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
Go to a bounce house.
Well, I still love bounce house.
Yeah, go to a bounce house.
Oh, margaritas and fajitas at El Tiempo are calling that name.
Is that the birthday?
That's
typical
the start?
Birthday dinner?
That's the start?
Soon as we sign off, yes, sir.
Good for you.
Man, to hell with that Christmas party. I don't blame you. That's the start. That's the start.
Well, I didn't view it as pouty.
You didn't? Oh, my God.
Hey, thank you, Tyler Milner.